Folks, it's good to be here today, and good to have everybody that's with us. We continue our study in the new birth, and if you've got your Bibles, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, please. John 1. Father, Lord, give me understanding now, Lord, the gift of teaching, give me wisdom. And our Father, give the people ears to hear, heart to receive, and discernment by the sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, John, as you know, is not one of the so-called synoptic gospels, because John deals with the new birth. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are classified as synoptic gospels. You know, I've told you this before. Synopsis is a agreeing together. Synthesize means to bring together. Synoptic means a joining together of a view. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. John is different. John is different. And John's gospel deals with the new birth. John chapter 3. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Gospel of John also deals with the deity of Christ in a way that none of the others do. So, by reason of that, which Gospel do you think is attacked the most? John. Of all 66 books in the Bible, the last book of the Bible is the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. Which book of the Bible do you think is attacked the most? Revelation. It's even attacked to the point that preachers stand in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday and tell their congregations that Revelation is a closed book. So it is called the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. God gave it to his prophet John. So it's a revelation about Jesus Christ. So attack it. Anything that has to do with the essence, the nature, the person, the work of Jesus Christ is going to be attacked. Now here in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, he deals with an issue that brings us, as we've talked about, the new birth. And he deals with an issue right here that I want you to notice is very important. The Scripture says in chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Note carefully, verse 13, which were born. All right. Now this birth, this being born, he'll tell you what it is not. They were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That new birth, therefore, that he talks about in John 3, John talks about in John 1 and says, it was not of blood. In other words, it was not hereditary. It has nothing to do with your pedigree. It has nothing to do with your breeding. It has nothing to do with where you came from, whether you're of blue blood, as some refer to. Nor of the will of the flesh. It's nothing that you can attain to. It's nothing you can achieve or acquire. It's nothing that you can be good enough for or work for. It's not, salvation is not a reward. Salvation is the gift of God. And note carefully, nor of the will of man. Plain words, man has no ability to pronounce over you that you are saved, confirmed, that you're a Christian now. His words are meaningless. Man can tell you that you're a Christian all he wants to, but that's not his authority. The authority is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit from within you gives the marks of a Christian. But note carefully, they were born of God. Now, back in the 1800s, an Englishman named Charles Darwin sailed on the HMS Beagle out into the Pacific, found an island out there that was somewhat different, the Galapagos Island chain. And through his research, Mr. Darwin came to the conclusion that life as we know it has evolved, and called his book that he subsequently wrote, The Origin of the Species. That became the standard work for the doctrine of evolution. By the end of the 1800s, the doctrine of evolution had rooted itself into scientific America and into academia or into the colleges and universities. Evolution became an accepted fact. Therefore, everything else, all the other disciplines, all the other sciences, all the other areas of knowledge, of skill and so forth, must relate to evolution. How do they explain what they believe by evolution? So therefore, the church jumped on board the evolutionary bandwagon and came up with a novel idea of what's called theistic evolution. They believe, therefore, that God is the creator, but God used evolution as the means to do that. So theistic evolution became the bedrock of liberal theology. Now, of course, when that happened, it entered into the Bible colleges in this country, into the places where young men are trained to minister to their mainline Protestant denominations. Essentially, we're talking about the Presbyterian, Methodist, churches of the Christian Church and the Anglican Church and Catholic and so forth. It entered into their Bible colleges, seminaries, and the theology therefore was based upon an understanding that man had evolved. So what it did was to literally strike a death blow to the doctrine of the new birth. The new birth is no longer a doctrine. See, the new birth was destroyed the doctrine of the new birth along with a lot of other things. One of the first things that it destroyed was belief in the inspiration of the Scriptures. No longer was Genesis through Revelation inspired Scripture. 1922, 26, somewhere in there, in Dayton, Tennessee, Clarence Darrow and Williams Jennings Bryan squared off in a battle, a monumental battle, that was watched all over the world when the state of Tennessee would not allow the teaching of evolution in its school system. Tennessee was still controlled by, at least wise the legislature, was influenced greatly by fundamental Christianity. And so they had their show trial, and Clarence Darrow lost, and state of Tennessee won, and Williams Jennings Bryan lived about 2 weeks after that and died. And he was a Christian, but he tried to get outside of his field and defend the Bible, which he could not defend because some questions were asked of him in the courtroom. He couldn't answer them. He didn't know how to answer them. Didn't know how to deal with them correctly. They made a laughing stock out of Williams Jennings Bryan, and they've made movies about it since then. Clarence Darrow was an agnostic or an atheist, and it was a head-on confrontation between liberalism and the old-fashioned Bible-believing Christian. Either the Bible is true or it's not true. Now, Clarence Darrow and all of the schools that educated him and those like him had accepted the doctrine of evolution. Evolution, therefore, becomes there's no mind directive. It is a random choice, random aspect thing where there is no real personal intelligence involved in anything happening. It just happens by chance. And so, therefore, if you accept the doctrine of evolution, then you accept it socially, and that's what's happened today. The doctrine of evolution has become a social thing. Men have evolved socially, and now they've come to the point where they accept this relative humanism or relativity, what's the term for it? I'm trying to find where everything is personal relative. It's relative to the person, the individual. In other words, your standard of holiness may not be his standard of holiness, and what you feel is right, he may not feel is right, and your right is your right. That's where they've come to today. Now, this is the kind of thing preached from the pulpit. The problem is, if there's no absolute standard, there's no absolute standard, and that's the issue. All right. So now, when we go back to this. To this doctrine of evolution, by the end of the 1800s, a scientific movement had gotten underway called eugenics. How many's ever heard of eugenics? Most of you haven't, and you should have. It should be taught in the public school system, but they have a reason for not teaching it, because it doesn't make the American Medical Association and the colleges and universities of this country look good. Because in the first part of the 1900s, most of them embraced the doctrine of eugenics. What is eugenics? The word means well-born. It's the idea that you can breed certain characteristics and traits into the human family. And therefore, since we have evolved, I mean, that's an accepted fact, isn't it? Since we have evolved, therefore, evolution has produced what we have now. Why can't man intervene and make it better? That's eugenics. And you'd be surprised at the people who believed it. Now, I'm not saying this in a very critical sense. I'm saying it in a sense of observation. In plainer words, we're just giving you a quick general survey of what the American, not only America, but all over the world, for that matter, what people believed. They believed that certain characteristics, for example, homosexuality, they believed that you could breed homosexuality out of people. That therefore it was a mishap of evolution. for homosexuality. Well, we know, if we believe the Bible, that man's problem is not genetic. Man's problem is spiritual. Now, if you believe the Bible, you believe that. Your problem's not genetic, your problem's spiritual. But if you have embraced theistic evolution, like the church did, when I say the church, I'm talking about the liberal church, then you have to make allowances for eugenics. And no doubt, probably some Christians got involved in that. Because some of the names I'm going to read for you are some of the heroes of America. For example, Sir Francis Galt in 1883 drew on the work of his cousin Charles Darwin, and he's the one who coined the phrase eugenics. And it was supported by prominent people. Here's a list. I got this from Wikipedia. H.G. Wells, Woodrow Wilson, Theodore Roosevelt, Emile Zola, George Bernard Shaw, John Maynard Keynes, William Keith Kellogg, Margaret Sanger, Winston Churchill, Sidney Webb, and then, of course, one man well known by everybody, Adolf Hitler, who bought into it. And we'll talk about Adolf Hitler's connection to it in a moment, because Adolf Hitler is a pretty important character. Well, regardless of what you think about Hitler, you can't dismiss Hitler. You have to deal with him. He's an issue of history. You have to deal with what made Hitler Hitler. What made him what he was? What did he believe? Where did it come from? What did he intend to do with Germany? Where were they headed? What did he base his beliefs on? These are the kind of things that if you're a Bible believer, you want to know, because Hitler's certainly a type of the Antichrist. He may have very well been a dry run, and I believe he was. And I believe Satan had empowered him with a lot of things. Check him out. See how he's going to work. And Hitler almost accomplished what he intended to do. He made a couple of strategic mistakes. He tried to fight a major war on two fronts. Cost him greatly. But Hitler had one of the finest general staffs that ever existed. Most of the generals on the German general staff had an IQ of over 140. Many of them over 150. We're talking about brilliant men. We're talking about men. For example, you take that old boy from North Africa. What was his name? You know, the desert fox? Rommel. And Rommel ran the British wild. He ran them crazy. They couldn't deal with Rommel. And Rommel was outgunned, outmanned, and out everything else except outgeneraled. That's exactly right. But anyway, you know, this is not about how great the Germans are. The idea is that when Satan begins to build something, he builds it. He never puts all of his eggs in one basket, though. He never does that. Satan will never put everything he has with one man. He will always allow himself an escape route. He'll always allow himself a backup. And so with Adolf Hitler, it was like that. But before we jump ahead to Hitler, let's talk about eugenics for a moment. Planned Parenthood, still with us, was started by Margaret Sanger. And Margaret Sanger believed in eugenics and talked about human weeds. She referred to certain classes of people as not worthy to be here. Two in particular were the Jews and what they call the Roma. The Roma are the gypsies found all over Europe, all over the world for that matter. They wanted to get rid of them. They believed in literally eliminating certain groups of people. Feeble-minded people, get rid of them. People who had certain characteristics they didn't like, get rid of them. If you can't breed it out, get rid of them. That's the idea. All right? So what happens here is that you get into a racial thing. You get into the very mechanics of what makes us what we are, you see. The idea is, though, and here's the problem. The idea is that you can create a master race or a purified race simply by breeding, all right? So therefore, you can breed out all the bad traits and breed in all the good traits. What's the problem with that, according to the Bible believer? What's the problem? What's our problem? Is our problem our birth? Not of blood, John said, John chapter number 1. Not of blood, which we're born, not of blood. Blood has to do with your genealogy, your pedigree. No, no, no. You see, the problem is not breeding out sin. The problem is that you can only get rid of sin by the blood of Christ. And when the Bible in the book of Acts chapter number 17, when the Apostle Paul went to Athens, Greece, named after Athena the Virgin, the great virgin god, with her temple on top of the mountain there, on Mount in Athens, Greece, she was worshipped as the zenith, as the greatest. That was it. It's as high as you get. Humanity, to get around Athena the Virgin was to lift one up, see. That was it. And she was on the highest point in that city. I've been there. I've been to Greece, and I've stood at Mars Hill and looked up. And where the Apostle Paul stood and preached at Mars Hill, he had to look up, see. If he wanted to look up at Athena, the Virgin's Parthenon, see. Parthenos in Greek means virgin. You remember the thing we did at Christmas time? It can only mean virgin. He looked up at the Virgin's temple, and he stood there and he preached on top of Mars Hill about, not about the Virgin, but about the unknown God. The God that they didn't know, see. They had a monument erected to the unknown God. He said, let me tell you about this unknown God. All right. The Stoics and Epicureans were there when he began to preach to them. And he told them this. He said, God hath made of all men on the face of this earth one blood. Now, if I take John chapter number one to mean what it means, to understand what it means that there are different races. Yes. Shem, Ham, and Japheth populated this earth from the plains of Shinar. And every human being on the face of this earth can trace your genealogy to Shem, Ham, or Japheth. It's when it comes to that. The issue, the Bible deals with the racial issue. The Bible has something to say, folks, about everything. If you read the Bible and believe what it says, you'll be a whole lot better off than listening to CBS, NBC, and ABC. But when it comes to the issue of blood, what does that mean? That means humanity. We are humanity. One blood, of one blood. Then therefore, he said, he hath made all men of one blood, that and separated men, that they might happily seek after the Lord. So as far as God's concerned, when it comes to God's relationship with mankind, it is not based on race. It is based on one issue. The issue that God has at issue with us, and always has. Sin. That's the problem. And when you think about that now, think about him saying that 2,000 years ago. Think about what the Apostle Paul said 2,000 years ago. Think about how the Bible lays this out. And I'm telling you, friends, if you want to study the Bible, you can study it. It has a lot to say about race. All three of them. But when it comes to their relationship with God, God makes no distinction. One blood. All come the same way. So what does that do for eugenics? What does that do for breeding out characteristics and breeding man into this super race? Well, here's what happened. Adolf Hitler took that and carried it into the occult world. Now, when I read off these names of these people, I did not say for one minute they were occultists. Not for a moment. But what I am saying is that eugenics laid the foundation and the groundwork for what Adolf Hitler took. And when he did it under the idea that the Aryan race is a master race. And he did that based upon what's called the root race theory. And the root race theory has seven different classifications of races. And the greatest, finest classification of race is pure spirit. And Plato talked about a place called Atlantis, and they're still trying to find Atlantis. It goes all the way back to Plato, a long time ago. And it was populated by people very high up on that racial ladder. These people have died out, but their spirits are still around. They are masters. They are spirits that want to communicate with people alive today. They want to communicate to us great higher truths so that we can evolve into that master superior race that Adolf Hitler was seeking. Now, of course, I'm saying this in the sense that they believe it. You following me here? I'm not saying I believe this. All right. Some of you are looking at me like I'm... Good night. What's happened to the preacher? I figured I better clear that up. Man, I don't believe that for a minute. But I do believe that they're being communicated by spirits. Oh, yes. Oh, you better believe it. When Adolf Hitler said he had a spirit guide, and when... I don't know. Has Oprah ever said she has a spirit guide? I mean, she's pushing New Age doctrine. She's certainly a high priestess of the New Age religion. And millions of brainwashed, dumbed down Americans are watching her day in and day out as if she knows what she's talking about. And she doesn't know whether she's coming or going. She doesn't know a thing. But she has embraced the New Age movement. She has New Age gurus on there all the time and so forth. And now she, you know, I mean, she's not only a talk show host. Now she's a religious figure. That's bad news. That's bad news for a country populated by people who relate to everything according to the way they feel. If it feels good, well, that made me feel good. Boy, that's got to be right. I feel good. Everything's related to feelings. They're not taught how to think. They can't be rational. They've completely revised your history books. All the heroes that I was taught about in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, no longer heroes today. You don't even hear about them. See? Western Europeans are to blame for all of the world's problems and so forth and so on. But in any event, Hitler took that and he carried it to its extreme. And he came to the conclusion that the Germanic people were definitely the Aryan, the ascended masters had communicated with them, and that if all they had to do was communicate more with them, and the way they did that was through the occult. In other words, through this, when we say occult, you use the term occult, it means hidden. It means something that's hidden and forbidden. In the Bible, forbidden. Amen. Clearly forbidden. If you want to communicate with the spirit world, let me tell you how to do it. Get in the closet, shut the door, get down on your knees, and confess your sins, cry out to God, and you're communicating with the spirit world. And the Holy Ghost is the one you're communicating with. And be very careful, because there's an awful lot of other ghosts around who want to come in there that are not holy. And I'm not talking about departed people. I'm talking about spirit beings. And they will communicate with you in a heartbeat if you allow them and give them place. But he did. Hitler was quite a believer in the occult, along with Himmler. Himmler was the high priest of occultism in Nazi Germany. Himmler thought he was the reincarnation of one of these past gods. He really did. He was the head of the SS. SS on the uniform was the SS signal sign insignia is literally a rune, R-U-N-E. And a rune goes back to the Anglo-Saxon, goes all the way back into the ancient history of those people. It had magic symbols. It had magic ability attached to it. They believed that if you understood the secret of runes, that you could conjure up any kind of a spirit you wanted to, work any kind of, have all kinds of power. And so, therefore, they believed deeply in these things. And so, SS is not SS like your S. It's two runes. It's one rune doubled. It's a rune. It's not an English letter. It's not a German letter. It's a rune. It's an occult insignia. The SS was built based on occultism, on a hidden knowledge. They used to meet in old castles throughout Germany. They'd dress up as ancient warriors and carry swords and have mock combat. They had all kinds of occult rituals. It was unbelievable the depth of the occultism involved with Nazi Germany. They were literally being inspired by spirit beings around them all the time. They were being communicated to. Some folks say it's amazing at how much Adolf Hitler knew. That it's remarkable. And the History Channel just recently did a thing on the number of assassinations, not just one, but many times they tried to assassinate Adolf Hitler. The Allies and Germans. And for some uncanny reason, he was able to change his plans at the last moment. Or go somewhere else he hadn't planned to go. Or do something he hadn't planned to do and escape the assassination. As is well known in this country, at one time they bombed a room that he was in. But Adolf Hitler escaped all of that. And to this day, if you want to know the bottom line about Adolf Hitler, they're not absolutely certain that body they found when the Russians came into Berlin is Hitler. Most people think it is, and maybe it is. If Hitler were still alive, how old would he be now? 90, 100, 110? What? He'd be somewhere up in there. I mean, he was a corporal in the Austrian Army, World War I, so Hitler's been around a long time if Hitler's still alive. But Adolf Hitler stood at a museum in, I believe it was Austria, And there was the spear of destiny. The spear of destiny. Do you remember reading the Gospel of John where the Bible says that a soldier took a spear and ran it into the side of the Lord Jesus? Forthwith came blood and water. Well, this is a relic. And when you get into the business of relics, you're going to get into a whole new world, because relics refer to things like spears, the cup called? The Holy Grail, Shroud of Turin, pieces of the cross. Well, this spear that was in a museum that Adolf Hitler stood and looked at was supposed to have been the very spear that was shoved into the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the spear is supposed to predate Christ and go all the way back, some say, to Phinehas, the one who killed the man who was with the Cosby. So when Hitler saw that, they say he stood there for the longest time, completely detached from everyone around him, as if he were possessed by a spirit. All right? Now, this is important to understand what I'm about to say right here. The Apostle Paul says an idol is nothing. Right? That includes spears, amulets, fetishes. That includes everything in the occult world. In itself, there is no power, but there is a demon behind it. Let me tell you how that works, okay? It took me a long time to come to this conclusion. Here's how it works. That thing itself is nothing. But when you attach yourself to that thing and begin to receive whatever power you think that thing has, you are literally receiving a spirit. You are making yourself vulnerable. When you start talking about demons, demons come around. When you start dabbling with the occult, you are dabbling with something that opens the door for them to come in. And they will come in. They will come in a heartbeat. And they'll gain as much access to your life as possible. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, if you're a true Bible-believing Christian, really been born again, a demon cannot possess a Christian. He can't do it. He can't possess you, because the Bible says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. But he can sure wear your soul out, because the soul is saved. And the soul is either dominated by the Spirit of the living God or by the spirit of this world. Whichever spirit is prominent in your life determines which way your soul goes. Okay? I won't say it again. Your intellect, emotion, and will is controlled either by the Holy Spirit, which becomes the spiritual man, full of the Holy Ghost, rejoicing in God. Your intellect, emotion, and will is overjoying in the power of God, in the presence of your salvation, in the wonder of God. Or the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience is controlling your soul, because all you have done lately is fill your soul full of this world. Your intellect, emotion, and will is full of nothing but the earth. And what causes an earthling, or they that are of the earth, to rejoice? In plain words, your life is tied up here. In that, a demon can work you over. He can work you over. So a Christian can certainly be harassed and worn out by a demon. So don't ever think for a minute that just because you're born again that you have this shield around you. Be careful. The Apostle Paul says, give no place to the devil. He says, your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, if the possibility wasn't real, why would Paul say resist him? Because he can devour you. When I say devour, he can't take your spirit. That's sealed. But he can sure wear you out. And as John said in 1 John chapter number 5, if you see a brother sinning, a sin unto death, don't pray for him. That's the point. That's the final end game of Satan. So now, Did you know that right now in this world, there is an occultic force working, trying its dead level best to bring this world into a one world government? And do you believe that at this very moment that they have plans, whatever it's going to take, to reduce the population of this world? At the present moment, right now, it's about 6,000 million. All right? 6 billion. They want to reduce that. They want to reduce that down to about a billion or half a billion, somewhere in that neighborhood. They want to get rid of these people. That could be one of the reasons why in sub-Saharan Africa right now, sub-Saharan Africa, that the AIDS virus has been running wild. And those poor people down there are dying. And it doesn't seem like a whole lot's been doing about it. If you remember the civil war in Sudan, some call it a civil war, I don't call it civil war, it's nothing but a massacre. Those Sudanese Christians were being massacred by Muslims. Nobody really did anything about it. They might have talked about it a little bit, the UN. But now when Israel went into Gaza, okay, after being rocketed for decades from the south, they went into Gaza, and they're on the ground. They're on the ground. It's door-to-door, hand-to-hand fighting now. I mean, it's dirty fighting. It's there. The troops are on the ground. They're in there. And the whole world now is up in arms. Well, I'll tell you right now, it's sad. I mean, I don't like seeing these little children blown up and most of these little kids. And you know what, though? They can blame Hamas for rising to power in Gaza and allowing them to overthrow the other group. Now, how many of you know where Gaza fits in the Bible? Where does it fit in the Bible? Is there anything? Does the Bible say anything about Gaza? Goliath, along with his five brothers, the Philistines. The Philistines were not Arabs. The Philistines were not indigenous to the Holy Land. The Philistines were seafarers, and the Philistines came into that country from somewhere else. The Philistines came into the land of Israel and built their cities on the coastline. And Goliath was a giant, wasn't he? He was a giant. Now, this thing over here in the occult, I found something here and I thought, my goodness, this has got to be one of the most remarkable things. In Germany, they had what's called a Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E, which was an occultic society. And remember all the stuff about the Ascended Masters and all of that. But it says that they believed that these ancestors were giants. These giants appear in Norse and Icelandic myths, asleep but still alive. To the Nazis, they were supermen. I thought that's quite a remarkable thing, don't you think? That they have even in the occult world, that there is a legend about giants, and that these Nazis who were into this occultism believed that these giants were supermen. What does the Bible say about giants? Where do they come from? See, exactly. The reason I may belabor this point, but I'm trying to make a point. And the point is this. You'll find all over this world, you'll find piecemeal parts, distorted parts of ancient truths. You'll find it everywhere, especially when it comes to astrology and astronomy and so forth, signs of the zodiac. You're going to find that practically every culture has a portion of the truth. See, and then they get a hold of it and they'll spin it their own way. But when you come back, what is the source of that truth? See, what is the original source of truth? Where do we find it? All right, now if I'm Adolf Hitler, okay, what race do I hate the most? I watched a Nazi film about 3 days ago on the internet. was made 1930-something. It showed the Jews in Warsaw, and it compared them to rats. I mean, if ever I saw something that denigrated a whole race of people, it was that thing. They were showing Jews to be nothing but rats, subhuman species. And of course, what Hitler was doing was this was propaganda for the average man on the street to demonize these people. First thing you do when you want to get rid of somebody is do what? You demonize them. Has the news media demonized fundamentalism in this country? Okay. First thing you want to do to get rid of somebody is demonize them. It's what Hitler did. All right. Here's the problem. Here's Hitler's problem. Okay. Hitler had a major problem. Who wrote the Bible? God did. But what race did he use to write this book? He used Jews. Scripture says in John in Romans 9, to them was given the oracles of God. All right. Jews. All right. Now, Jesus Christ was an Aryan, right? I mean, if you see the dilemma? The Lord Jesus Christ was what? Came into his own zone, received him not, all right? Now, if you're going to demonize the Jews, and they're nothing but vermin, and they're nothing but rats, then what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You've got a problem here, see? See what happens? Okay. So, Jesus Christ, as far as Hitler was concerned, for the public, for the consumption of the public, and you've got to always have, you always have two, you always, always, always have two. Have two statements or declarations or truths. You have that which is given out for the consumption of the public. Then you have what's really going on. Okay. And so Adolf Hitler publicly was a Christian, and the Catholic Church made a concordant with him. Pius, I forget what his name was, Sixt or whoever he was, signed an agreement with Hitler. And the Catholic Church and Hitler got along just fine during World War II, okay? But Hitler was not a Christian. Hitler was an occultist. And even a Satanist, okay? So, as far as Hitler was concerned, Jesus Christ was a what? And if he was a Jew, he was a what? See what I mean? Okay. And so this is what you got into over there. You got into that idea that the Aryan race is the master, superior, supreme race. And a lot of people still believe that to this day. They may spin it a different way, repackage it, and give it out another way. But the idea is this. The elite know what's best for you, whether you like it or not. And the elite are going to control this world, and they're going to do what they're going to do, whether you like it or not. And they'll piecemeal feed you what little tidbit they need to give you to keep you quiet. But they intend to bring this world into a one world government. Amen. Now, just a few weeks ago, Hank Paulson took $650 billion, $700 billion. All right? You know what he did with that money? Do you know that right now Fox and CNN and even some of the major news outlets are beginning, because I guess their conscience has finally smitten them. They are finally reporting that when your money, your taxpayers' money, your money came out of your pocket. You didn't get it. It came out of your pocket. They took that money, gave it to these big banks. These big banks took that money and turned around and paid huge bonuses to their CEOs, handed out millions and millions of dollars to their high-ranking, to the top. To the creme de creme. They gave it out, okay? Gave all that money out. But the idea was it's supposed to rescue the financial institutions in the country. See? That was the party line. That's what they fed you. That's for public consumption. What they really did with it is to take it and shore up the financial basis of the New World Order. That's what they did with it. So what the Christians got to do is to weed through what comes across publicly for public consumption and get down to the very bottom of what's going on. When these people say they're Christians, they're not Christians. They don't believe. They're not Christians. Listen, all it takes is look what's happening. As I said a moment ago, look what's happening over there in Gaza. Who's being demonized? See? The Jews are being demonized. And they've done enough. I'm sure of that. No doubt about that. I don't like blowing babies up either. Do you? No, sir, man. I'm only part of that. Blowing up kids and all this stuff's going on down there. But the truth of the matter is they've got an enemy in their south that's been rocketing them now and killing their people. And so they have to do something about it. And apparently they intend to go in there and do what they're going to do, and nobody's going to stop them, regardless of the resolutions the UN passes or anybody else. And I read on the Drudge yesterday morning where it shows a tank firing off a round. It says escalation. So the last thing I've seen about the about that war is that it's escalating. Now they've opened up another front. You've got Hezbollah in the north firing rockets down on them. Now, who supports Hezbollah? Now, let's take the Arabs, common Arab, for example. Okay, do you think he makes enough money to build all these rockets? You know where all this stuff's coming from, all this ordnance? Some of it comes from Russia. Most of it comes from Iran. The other day they confronted Syria about it, and he says, no, I'm not going to stop. He said it publicly. No, we're going to continue to support them. So in plainer words, it's state-sponsored terrorism. They bankrolled it. Syria, Iran, two of them, are sponsoring what's going on. Okay, but who gets blamed for it? See, why are the Jews blamed? Somebody said Jesus. Where did he come from? Pardon? He did, didn't he? He said, ye shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. Remember now, eugenics, what they wanted to do. They wanted to get rid of the Jews and they wanted to get rid of the gypsies. They wanted to get rid of them. Wipe them along with others. Wipe them from the face of the earth. Be done with them. Let me ask you this question. If we got rid of all the Jews and got rid of all the gypsies, would that make the world a better place to live? Would it stop home invasions in Knox County? How about bank robbers? It wouldn't stop anything. No, it wouldn't stop a thing. It wouldn't change anything. It's not a racial issue. It's not an ethnic issue. It's a sin issue. And Jesus Christ is the only answer to sin. So in order to demonize him, you demonize his race. And that's what they're doing. It's going after Jesus Christ. Now, I may be a little dogmatic in it, but I believe that those people, I know a lot of them came from Western Europe, I know that, but I believe the people in Israel today are there as a fulfillment of prophecy. I believe they're there because God has answered his prophet, and they have returned the second time. And I believe they're going to stay there. But I also believe somebody's got to be there calling themselves Israel to sign a covenant with the Antichrist. And that's going to be them. And that's coming soon. It's going to be here before you know it. There's going to be a covenant signed. And it's going to happen just like the Bible said it'll happen. It'll happen. Amen. Well, we've run out of time. Brother Buckle, will you dismiss us, please?